This is Due by Friday, a weekly challenge podcast with Merlin Mann, Alex Cox, and Max Temkin. This week's challenge, learn how to draw butts.
Cameron, are we calling Merle?
Let's call him Merle.
Merle. I keep having Max address him like that to see what will happen. Hey, nothing Merle. Has yet. So maybe he's that mad about it. Merlin Man?
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, I can't hear.
That's because you... That's because intern Jordan do his...
Actually. Wow. No, I just had to turn up my thing.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. You're not a studio normie, unlike intern Jordan, who, wow, thanks a lot, intern Jordan.
Welcome back.
Welcome.
It's good to see you.
He actually did a good job taking care of the, what is it now, $150 million studio, and turned all the microphone amps down, so there's no headphones.
Every
bleed.
Time we say it, it goes up.
Mm-hmm. Did you just do the bit, Kevin? Did you
what?
Say? Did you explain? Nothing. Never mind. How are you, Merlin?
What's happening?
I don't go here.
You can't sit with us. How?
Micromodal. Oh.
I think maybe the voice
this is already
just
unbearable. Unbearable.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
boys in the house.
It's going to get really nasty up in here.
Cycle 2.0. Mm. Boys in the house.
I got my bean juice.
Dad's not here to watch us.
Yep. I'm singing into the bean box. Wait, is he not here this week?
No. Max is hanging out with his close personal friend, Jeff Probst, or some magicians, or I don't know.
One or the other.
Oh, wait, so it's really literally just the three of us?
It's literally just the three of us. Although intern Jordan is observing, so be on your toes. So, mm-hmm.
What is he with the UN or something?
Actually, intern Jordan.
He's monitoring the election.
Oh, should we have a monitor thing?
Infractions?
It's Impeachapalooza, right?
Oh, is that happening right now?
Oh, no, please, no. No, Daddy's on a break.
Okay.
Daddy's on a break.
Really?
Right now.
You decided to take a break now?
Is this the show?
It's like, this is like becoming sober right before spring break. This is very interesting. Yeah.
Okay.
My metaphors make sense.
Where would I be going for spring break? Would I be going to like Fort Lauderdale?
No.
Oh. What year of college would it be? Senior year?
Oh, interesting. No.
Freshman.
No.
Oh, boy. That would be a mistake.
Yeah.
I never did spring break things. That was for, I don't know, weirdo normal people.
Yeah, no, neither did.
That was
neither
for popular people.
Yeah. That was for people who, one, had money and two, had friends.
My God, yes.
My family had one of those. I did not have the other.
Yeah. I enjoyed a simulacrum of those kinds of things, but I was never fully invested in the sort of alcoholic bro lifestyle, you know?
Yeah, no. It made my tummy hurt.
I have soft hands for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
What about you, Kevin? Were you a frat boy?
I had a lot of...
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was...
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Were you nailing lots of chicks and stuff?
Yeah, I was cruising. I was doing panty raids.
Oh, fucking. I can't even tell you how many panties I've raided. Oh, my gosh, brother. I hear you. Chakra, bro.
And my axe.
What's up?
No, I had a bunch. I had a lot. I went to art school, first of all, for college, so there were no frats there.
You what? Say again?
I went to art school for college.
Oh.
We didn't even know what a jock looked like.
I bet that got a little wild.
No, it got sad.
It got wild in the opposite direction, actually. Yeah. There was a lot of promiscuity and like hard drugs and people dropping out because they were like, fuck this, I don't need this.
Was it happy promiscuity or sad promiscuity?
Both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Hot and cold running art. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kevin
coming
and
out
I...
of all orifices.
Kevin and I went to the same. No, what's that a reference to?
Shoot, that's a reference. What is that?
Is it?
No, Kevin just did a funny.
Oh.
I don't actually know anymore.
That's true.
Oh wait, it was. Oh, you know what it was? On Chapo, they were talking about Boris Johnson's novel, his lightly disguised, puffed up novel about himself and how he is exploding out of all of his orifices.
That's disgusting.
Let's try and find that. I want to hear more. I want to hear more about art school, though, because no, I mean, like, so do you have like distribution requirements? Is it it's a 4-year program, and you've got like, do you get like, you know, like most colleges? I don't know if you know about regular college, Kevin, but
never. Who is she?
You know, normally you have like a distribution requirement thing. We're at a normal college, and I did not go to a normal college. I went to a somewhat normal college.
Alex and I went to the same school.
Yeah. Why am I being left out?
We both went to Columbia.
Yeah. Not that Columbia.
Okay. Columbia College.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Columbia College. Not is that a certified college?
Probably. Mm-hmm. I think it's accredited.
Certifiable.
Yeah, probably.
You don't have to be crazy to go here, but it helps.
It helps. Yeah, when my wife started it at the psych department at UCSF, I said she should put that sign up. And she said that would probably not be smart.
Mm.
You don't have to be crazy to work here, but it helps.
It's irony.
Sorry, it's boring to talk about college. Anyway, yeah, you know, it's weird. I've said this for a long time, but I do think it's so odd that we send people off to college at this time when they've had very little actual experience of independence, and there's such an explosion out of all of your orifices of independence. Mm-hmm. There's so much shit you have to take care of for the first time in your life. And on top of it all, you're expected to like do well in school and be emotionally healthy and physically healthy and mentally healthy and like, and you know, do laundry and find food. Yeah. And oh my God, it's a lot to ask.
One of those things has to break.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have all the things.
At least one.
You can't have a triangle of wellness.
No,
it doesn't work.
No, it's more like a project dodecahedron.
Mm-hmm.
You get the whole two sides. Anyway, all right. I'm adjusting my expectations. Max is here. Max is not here.
He is not.
Max is with magicians. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Watching the Survivor finale.
Yeah.
Mm. Hmm.
Do you have a winner pegged, Kevin?
You just said the word pegged and you activated me.
We got Kevin's trigger word.
You found his Bucky.
I must assassinate the president.
He's the Manchurian bottom.
I didn't watch this season of Survivor.
Mm.
Yeah, you didn't miss much. It got way better. Well, it got way worse and way better toward the end. I don't super want to get into it, but
so I've had
a lot of different reasons.
To me. I've had some of the situation explained to me, and it sounds like it got pretty fucking crazy.
Save it for the show.
It didn't though. A gross man ruined a fun game. That's
for the first time in recorded history.
I think they should just stop having people named Dan on the show.
Yeah.
Just on principle.
No. Also Ozzy, but...
Oh, my... What is your problem with Ozzy?
I thought you thought Ozzy was hot.
No.
I thought that was Alex's problem with
Ozzy. Ozzy's competent, and I think that scares Alexandra as competent people.
I do. Trust me, that does indeed scare me. Especially the healthy, like the emotionally adjusted ones. Mm. It's, mm-hmm. I break out into
Something's
high.
Wrong there.
Yeah, no.
Too normal.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. I keep looking at these butts in the dock.
Yeah, we got some butts.
I gotta hop in here.
I keep looking at these top two.
Mm-hmm.
The one that looks sort of like a hot dog filled with cream cheese, and then the one that is croissants.
Croissant butt.
Croissant butt.
Can you imagine meeting somebody that actually has a butt like a croissant, like two croissants?
I would call an ambulance.
Oh man, she is buttery.
Oh wow.
Flaky.
Like if I was walking behind someone and like this was going through their jeans.
It really does look. First of all, that's not what a croissant actually looks like.
Oh, I mean
I can't draw a butt or a croissant. I'm screwed.
So much wrong with this picture.
These croissants are like crustacean. They look like shells.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like a tardigrade? I know we don't say that anymore. But like, yeah, okay. I know what you mean.
Oh, we don't say that word anymore. They
prefer water bears.
Water bear.
What's the hanky code for a tardigrade? I don't have pockets.
Oh.
I'm tiny.
I am so small.
I'm so small.
I cannot help this.
I just want to be loved. Won't someone urinate on tardigrade?
Oh, we have esteemed illustrator and artist and Cards Against Humanity events. What are you? Assistant director? I don't know.
I work on the events team. I don't know what you would say. Let me refer back to my resume that I'm punching up, and I'll answer later. Events, illustration, print shop manager, whatever. Man about town.
Mm-hmm.
The brand manager for Due by Friday.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, very important.
Artistic director.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We don't say artistic anymore. say spectrum artist. and we're so happy to have you here. Well, Max does his magician things.
Happy to be here as always. Happy to talk about butts and drawing.
The hot dogs are actually becoming more upsetting to me than the croissants.
Right?
Wait.
Because you said cream cheese, and now I'm really bothered by this.
So,
no, those are hams. Those are not hot dogs.
They're supposed to be like tires, right? Like, this is just like a drawing guide.
Oh, no, you're right. I see.
But
no.
But the way that they're sort of like hot dog colored. Like,
we'll put this in, just so y'all know, we'll put this in show notes so
yeah.
You can see. But I found this as I Googled how to draw butts for my work. I discovered various tutorials, I think very few of which would be approved by Kevin Budnick. But some of them try to do that thing. We know the thing. There's the thing where, like, you talk to somebody who's an idiot like me and you go, if you want to draw a human being, make six circles because that's the proportions. And it's like, well, it's not exactly that, but I guess it's close enough for government work. And in this case, they're trying to show you how to draw butts by saying, well, if you can draw two croissants, you can draw a butt. And it's like, well, you're not super helping me because I haven't really done a lot of pastry life drawing, but...
I'm very happy to be returning for a visual episode. I like I love the running trend of me coming on the show when there's just a complete visual component, and so the listeners are like, I have no idea what they're talking about.
Well, it's also gonna be a nice opportunity for John Syracuse to tell me what I did wrong in this challenge.
That's
the beauty of art. It's subjective.
Yeah. I have a problem with Mr. Syracuse this week. He was dragging in the, you know, this was the penultimate episode of the end of the Mac Pro saga, if you will, where he tried
about
out
your
Stadia.
New computer?
No, not my new computer.
Oh, his ten year mission.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he talked about how terrible it is to have numbers after your name as a username. But when you have a name like Alex Cox, what are you supposed to do, John? Even in 2008, when you are somehow got on the Gmail beta,
you got to get off the whole name thing. You got to come up with something that's, you know. Like a Google whack. You got to come up with something that's going to be unique, as they say.
I mean, Kevin, would you like to say what your Twitter and Instagram names are?
Oh, sure. Why not? My Twitter is @knittedsweater and my Instagram is Kevin_Budnick, BUDNIK.
See, you had to resort to an underscore and a knitted sweater.
Well, I picked knitted sweater.
Resort to? I think that's a creative opportunity.
I feel like... At the time, I wasn't thinking about myself as being like, I'm going to need my name on Twitter. I just picked a thing that I thought was fun. It's like when you pick your first username when you're on like AIM in middle school.
Right.
And you're like, you don't think about how it's going to follow you. And so I think somebody has the Kevin Budnick.
And like, now you're Chandler Bing 69.
Right. Or you're Alex Cox 42.
I try. Well, that's the thing with Twitter. I was so proud of myself for getting that name to the point where Maddie, the decision for when we got married, what last names we would have, Twitter factored in quite a bit. And, you know, character
What the
length.
Fuck are you talking about?
When you get into... a marriage, you often change your last name. And
that part I get. How did Twitter figure?
You have to change your username.
Mm-hmm. You also need to change your username. And
in order to understand, you have to put yourself in the mind of Alex and Mechie.
It's
good,
very
thanks.
Hard.
I'm good. Is the 42, can I ask, is the 42 a Douglas Adams joke?
Which I thought was, again, very clever in 2008.
Well, to answer the question, is it a Douglas Adams joke?
Yes, it is.
Oh,
it,
cool.
It
okay, is, all right. Then that's, you suddenly seem less dorky. All right.
Good to know.
Less dorky by being more dorky.
Man, senior year in high school, Alex was like, you know what would be great? Oh, no one's going to get that. 42 isn't going to, you know, this won't follow me until I'm 42 years old, and no one will understand what the 42 is. It must be a special reference. And no one got it until I went to college. Until I went to art school.
Until I made friends with a very specific type of people.
Yeah.
But that's self-selecting bias. That's good. Mm-hmm. If people don't get the joke, you know.
You're flagging.
I am.
Yeah, exactly.
I am.
Flipping the bozo bit. Yeah, for sure.
The 42 is your hanky coat.
That's your hanky coat. Urinate on my Marvin.
Oh! Oh, at least she'll make less sad.
Shad Android.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
Wow, I'm seeing the whole picture now.
Yeah, yep.
Earl Grey hot. Okay. So I don't know. I'm really underprepared for this one. We got a lot of toilet talk, it looks like.
Yeah, we can talk about toilets. I did a little butt comic right before the show.
Wait, it's not up yet, is it?
I didn't post anything, and also we can get a little peek into my process.
Oh,
we're talking about butts or toilets? Are we in turlets or butts?
We can talk about turlets. We can talk about
Turlets. Well, let's save it for the challenge. So let's
let's talk about toilets first.
Yeah, spoilers. Our challenge involves butts. But, oh, wow, I say that word so much. It's like when you say duty, and then it's duty, and oh, wow, okay, I'm very upset now. Mm. All right, Kevin, would you like to share some toilet news with us?
Toilet talk.
Toilet talk. Boys in the house. Boys in the toilet.
This is just me buying time until I find the link.
Boys in the toilet.
You have to find the link because I don't have the link prepared either.
Okay,
but
I got it.
I saw this yesterday on the website twitter.com.
Oh my God, it's in the dock.
Is the slanty toilet in the dock?
The slanty toilet's in the dock.
Slanty toilet is the one below there.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. The battle toilet.
The battle toilet? What?
Choose your fighter.
Oh God.
I choose you, Toilet Mander.
Oh, don't ruin it for us.
Toilet.
No, don't ruin it.
Toilet.
Oh, no.
poopy. Anyway, let's get serious for a minute. this is the hard news section of the show because there's been a lot of turlet talk this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh boy, Kevin, I believe you found this tweet, which is two pieces of paper.
This is a Merlin.
Oh, Merlin find of two pieces of paper. With masking tape taped to a very dirty wooden bathroom door, it seems.
Mm-hmm. This looks like a place where you can count on a lot of ad hoc signage. I want to stipulate for the record. Okay, so sorry, I got to pop the stack here. I've started following something. I will not look at Reddit. You guys look at Reddit too much and it's killing you. But I do follow an account that is, I think it's relationship advice. And you get a lot of the like, oh, you know, my girlfriend eats a hamburger upside down and I want to slay her. What should I do? My ex-boyfriend is dating my father or whatever. There's all this like r/relationship stuff. And other stuff comes, it creeps in, like, am I the asshole questions? And it's a lot of fun. And it's really all the Reddit I need. This is so this says this is from r/legaladvice.txt. And the text of the tweet is crossover post. Let the record show that there is no law preventing your employers from sniffing your dumps at work. So, and what we're looking at here is a photo. You'll find this in show notes. It's a photo of, as Alex says, a two sheet of paper sign that's been masking taped to a door. May I read this?
Please.
So presumably this is a workplace. It says, if in bathroom for more than 10 minutes, a smell check will be completed to ensure employee not sitting on phone. If it does not stink, period, if it does not stink, employee's name will be reported to office in this really manic handwriting. With the implication being that if you go in and do a woozy-toozy, somebody's going to come in and do sniff your dump and make sure that you did drop the Duke into the Duke and that you weren't just boning on the phone.
More than 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
I like that 10 minutes is the cutoff.
TikTok. TikTok.
A poop should take no longer than 10 minutes. TikTok.
I imagine somebody in a Rorschach mask outside. TikTok. TikTok.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You'll say, can I have another few minutes? And I will look down and say no. So, anyways, I don't know if this is real, but I thought right. I thought it was kind of funny. And what, the reason we're introducing this into evidence at this juncture is it started off a whole big week of toilet talk
and time theft talk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, time theft is a known issue. Yeah, exactly.
It's quantifiable.
I guess. Well, as somebody who shits freely, privilege.
It must be nice.
It's right? So nice. I don't even need to be in that room. Just wherever. I'll just
the room where they keep us in.
I can just make a pants monster right here. Don't need a bottle. Yes. But what you don't know is that I took a shit 35 minutes ago. So anyway, so I don't know if this is real, but I guess here's the thing. No, the real talk though is that like I, you know, my hypocrisy has really just been very well fertilized over the years. I have not worked in an office in a long time. I've not been around that many people who work in offices with like real talk. I don't have coworkers to bitch about the boss to because I have a mouth. So I don't know. I guess it's a bigger problem than I realized is that sometimes, you know, mommy needs a minute. You get away, you go look at your phone on the toilet, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so my understanding is I guess that's an issue. So
apparently.
Now,
I have some real thoughts and feelings about this.
Same.
Well, do you want to get to your feelings or do you want to talk about this new technology that's been introduced?
Let's air the stink smell, mm-hmm, and then mm-hmm. we can talk about the new technology.
Mm-hmm.
I just like coming from having worked in customer service, like in like you know retail jobs for so long, like. Yeah, sometimes the only time you can look at your phone is in the bathroom. So, yeah. Like, it's like when I saw these articles, I was like, is that really a problem? Are people really spending too much time in the bathroom because they're looking at their phones? And then I remember, like, just needing a second to break away to, like, just chill.
Exactly. That's my angle on this is like sure whatever it's the phone, but like what fine whatever. But that to me is unnecessarily demonizing technology and how we use it. When like I said this a long time. I didn't realize this until the idea was introduced to me by John Roderick. But I think I am very extroverted to a point, and then I get real introverted. And like sometimes I just need to not. Be around people. Like after I record a show, mm-hmm. I just need to be somewhere where I get to control my environment for a while. There's one place in most offices where you, at least historically, get to control your environment for a little while. And I mean, I think that's what it is. I think it's just I need to be away from you fucking dinglings for a few minutes.
It's
not you, but
right.
You know.
Us dinglings. I need to be with the other dinglings.
I mean, mm-hmm. do you think it's a phone? I think it's just a getting away thing. It's like people don't smoke anymore, right? It used to be you could go
yeah.
smoke.
Mm-hmm. I think it's also a, like, we don't get enough time to ourselves. Like, I mean, not us here at Cards, but like as employees, mm-hmm. as like people who work
I'll
in
say
America.
Us here at Cards, not because of Cards, just like as people who work in
an open
office.
Plan
yeah.
office. Yeah, that's for sure.
It's not even necessarily the company. It's just the culture that we live. It's the culture.
I'm almost exclusively around people that I genuinely deeply love more than anybody else on the planet. I still like want to break sometimes. I'm still like, can you please go to bed so that I can watch season two of The Leftovers? Can you please go to bed so that I can have a few minutes to myself? You know, so I mean, being around people where like, I don't know, I fucking hate open plan offices. They hired this PR guy at my .com job, and he just didn't get it. He was just always talking real loud on the phone.
Mm.
Everybody hated it. There's really nothing to do about it. I mean, it's the worst.
I get very self-conscious about volume. Mm-hmm. But only when it's other people. I never clock my own volume. And I think sometimes I have a very loud, like, voice, especially when I'm just, like, having a good time at my desk pod with, like, my desk pod pals. And then I like, later think, I'm like, shit, am I loud? Am I, like, disrupting people?
Mm-hmm.
But sound, I don't know how well sound travels in our office from one side to the other.
Neither do I. And I'm aware that there are times when I am intentionally loud because it's because of the lady thing. When I am talking to a man, I try to speak louder than them. It is just something that in my lefty mind, that it's like a handshake. It's like, yes, I do have authority here. This is a self-conscious thing I do to try to assert power.
You're like necessarily overcompensating by design.
I'm not overcompensating. Nope. This is fine. Everything's fine.
I am going to talk.
So Kevin and Merlin, when I'm in the office, when Kara and I talk.
It's just so shrill. I love vocal fry. Jesus Christ. No wonder we make you sleep in a shack once a month.
Oh, God.
Please, get out of here and get in your blood hut.
Your moon haven.
Yeah. It's
hard. You may leave the moon haven in 4 days.
It's genuinely something I think that, especially in our office, everybody has that moment, but it's not, they like lose all self-awareness and, well, physical awareness, honestly. And it's not, I don't know, our office feels a little bit better just because we can be a little, like, we can be meaner to each other just because we, like, our passive-aggressive notes aren't notes. They're just mean notes.
There's an informality there that is very nice, actually.
That it's it was at that point where, you know, can be like, oh, yeah, our office is cool because we all know each other. There's that awkward period of, like, nobody wants to, because everybody's pals, no one wants to do it. But I think we're past the threshold where it's like, seriously, bitches, wash your dishes. We're not...
bitches, wash your dishes. Like, is that a real sign? That's good.
No, but it should be.
It could be.
Yeah, that's
stop your
true.
Bitches, wash your dishes.
I want to get one of those, like, happy birthday garlands that just says, bitches, wash your dishes, and hang that right above the... We have a really problem with signage is that when we put them up, you know, people don't see them.
Yeah, no, we directly confront one another here. Yeah, in this culture.
I have a kind of a weird flex, but it wasn't a point. I mean, what happened was my kid was getting older, and she was no longer going to be co-sleeping with us. She needed to have her own room. You know how this story turns out is I got an office very near where I live. But of course, I looked at all kinds of options, right? I thought of, like, is there any way I can wangle this to do it at home somehow, because I approached the problem very creatively, I think, which is like I did a whole thing. It was the last time I ever significantly used Evernote for something.
I was going to say, is it creepy that I know the story, how you took
pictures?
That's
a great story. Yeah, I took pictures and it was autumn geotag. But like, okay, so the perhaps slightly less told part of that story, I ended up with this office I love with a landlord that we get along great. We're pals. Very happy here. You know, obviously any amount of money is more money than one would like to spend, but like, it's been really good. Like, not only do I get my own place that is my place, lucky me, my wife doesn't have her own place like that. But it gets me out of their hair too. But anyway, the weird flex part is that of course I was looking for economical options. And so I was looking into my first choice was to, like, have my kid keep co-sleeping until she's 30 and I get to keep my office at home. But my first thought, of course, was what do they call it? Co-working? Like, you know, like sharing a workspace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, oh, man, it would be so amazing if I could find what they, around here they call a mother-in-law unit. Like, if I could find, like, some kind of, like, a tiny little sub-apartment or if I could find some place where they just give me a desk. And then I'm like, yeah, but, like, I do still do podcasts and I am, I guess, writing a book. So, like, I really do need, like, a place that's kind of... Anyway, I explored lots of options. I looked at lots of places and I got a very kind offer from a company in South Park that made the app Twitter, and they were like, you could come here and we'd give you space. I might have been for free, or it was going to be for really cheap, and they were really nice about it. I was like, oh sure, you know, come in and have lunch and hang out, and we'll check it out and see the crew. I now know, I believe, exactly one person that works at Twitter, whereas I used to know everyone that worked at Twitter. So I went there and I checked it out. They're in South Park, which is this very fancy little area with great restaurants and, you know, hair salons. And, hey, everybody's there and they're having fun. They're shucking and jiving. And, this is when Twitter was fun. This is, 2009 and everything's great. And it was like, God bless them. Thank you so much for that offer. But I went and it was like a goddamn middle school cafeteria. Mm. Everyone was working at essentially upscale, if CB2 made picnic tables. They're basically in rows at these picnic tables. And they're like, oh, yeah, but you could be, that's just the folks down here in customer service. Customer service, really? You're all in this room, this wooden room with wooden tables. And it's like, oh my God, it was like bedlam, literally bedlam, an insane asylum. And so I go upstairs and oh yeah, you can have this little desk here. And people are fucking throwing a ball around and listening to EDM. And I'm like, how are you getting anything done here? I would lose my goddamn mind. But is it a generational thing? They seem like they were having fun. All I'm trying to say is there's a reason I ended up spending a little more money than I would like for 10 years to have an office, because I think the kind of stuff that I have done over the years, I'll put it this way, would be very different if my only option had been be in a room with no fewer than 3 and up to 60 people.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong here, because I said, I don't go here, but that whole sort of early 2000s .com thing and all of the genesis of the co-working space and the cool hip mm-hmm. you know thing is it's just dudes trying to recreate what it was for them in college. This is how we feel the most creative, because we're all hanging out and it's not work, it's mm-hmm. play.
It's the pick. I think I often wonder if it was that, or if it was the whole story of, you know, at Pixar, there's this infamous story of,
there's no walls.
Speaking of bathrooms, Steve Jobs wanted the bathrooms to be on the opposite side of the building, so everybody mm-hmm. would run into each other and have conversations. Because that's exactly why, when you want to have your creative work,
I
need to take a shit.
Took a shit.
Yeah.
What's
hey,
up?
Hey.
Well, how's it going with your mouse movie? Well, actually, I've got a man on the boat right now, so I need to go to the Woody room.
You saw me walk out. I just did my shape.
I'm pushing a turtle here. I really don't have time to talk about the kitty cat taxi cab fire movie.
I think the reality.
Brave 2.
everything's a little loosey goosey. He drives away in the bumper car he's been sitting in the whole time. I think you look at the materialist thing to look at is it is less costly.
Exactly.
Nobody loved the partitions that. So last time I worked in an office-y McOffice, it was open plan ish, but we did have cubes. I mm-hmm. guess that's not technically mm-hmm. open plan, but we did have cubes that came up to about your neck, but it wasn't surpassed. It was still really loud and stuff.
Hold up. It was cubicles, but they only went up to your neck?
If you stood?
Yeah.
Oh, no, okay. I
see
there
where your
we
brain
go.
Went.
All right. Sorry.
Well, basically to quote David Allen, it's like a room full of prairie dogs.
That would look so scary.
Weird people prison.
What I was picturing in my head is hundreds of people sitting in their cubicles. But the cubicles, even when you're sitting, just
oh, some no, some the ones, some of the less fancy ones in the middle very much were like that.
Oh,
where it was basically
that's horrific.
It was, yeah, it basically if you were seated, it was basically just enough. Think maybe like Office Space,
sure.
Like one of the less fancy ones in Office Space. Where like it's just above your head if you're seated. anyway, I think the one way to look at it is it is just less costly. You can say all this stuff about collaboration, but isn't that kind of how WeWork started too? WeWork was supposed to be this hip thing where you just, it wasn't, I mean, they became a real estate, well, I guess they were always a real estate company, but didn't start out as a hoteling kind of thing where you would come in and work for a certain amount of time. It wasn't just like companies.
No, right. Yeah, it's all bullshit. It's like, you want to collaborate more? Don't be your stuffy uncle's company. Yeah. Come to this nice space that, you know, this billionaire owns, and it just so happens that it's way easier to have this open space because they don't need to pay for the repairs of the carpet cubicle. I don't know what cubicles are made out of.
I think we
of.
Should be tearing down walls.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Like, but look, so poor CGP Grey. What CGP Grey was going through, I lost track at some point, but what he was going through with what he was trying to do with his office. So he was going to mostly be, God, the whole thing is so funny. He's so fucking weird. But he'd like taken everything out of it. It was completely
weird.
Empty. He stripped it. What?
I think what he did was normal. Will you tell the story of another show, Cortex, what CGP Grey did to his office, which I thought sounded totally normal.
Well, okay. Agree to disagree. Anyway, he needed a place for whatever reason, and he does this amazing thing where he tells just enough of a story to not really explain what's going on, but make you say, what the fuck are you doing? It's like a core competency of his. But what I gather is he wanted a place where he could go and brainstorm and then eventually record, write and then record his videos and probably animate, do some of the animation. But so setting aside for a moment what he did to prepare the way, he's in, I think, a glass box. But what he eventually discovered is that he would come in really, really, really early. Do you remember this, Alex?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And there's a person in on the other side of the wall who came in even earlier and was talking business to people in China really loud all morning. And like, I was going to say this earlier, Kevin, it's like, you think about like, you know, you talk about your voice or, you know, noisiness. And it's like, you know, think about the easiest example I can think of is like when it's your music at your party. Not you, but one. It's like, it could be the louder, the better. When it's somebody else's music at their party, they suck, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of the case here, where it's like, you know, even think about when people fucking whisper in an office. That's annoying, too. Eating,
oh, that's
loud
worse.
Talk, quiet talk, eating, the whispering. You're not making it better.
It stresses me out.
Yeah, I think I'm being fired every time someone lowers their voice.
Oh, absolutely.
Even if it's people who I don't directly work with, even a little bit.
Like, oh, that new person's here. They must be taking my job. Right. All right, cool.
Come and start measuring things on your desk.
Oh, we're going to move this Pokemon toy just over here for a second.
Taking your measurements.
How big would you say that fidget spinner is? Would I fit a succulent there?
You about a size 6?
So anyway, I'm going to not say job, it has become somebody's self-appointed task, theoretically, nominally, to go in and sniff for dumps. That's what they do.
Toilet police.
You did not make toilet in here at all. All I smell is phone.
Oh, God. All right. Can we think about the logistics of this for a second, too?
It's all I've thought about for 2 days.
Yeah.
We're going to hire a bespoke toilet sniffer.
But like, what if that person has a cold? What if, like, for example, I can't shit at work. I try to shit at work. I literally cannot. It is a, I just can't. It is a place where I have often cried. I have often thrown up. Like, so many things have happened.
It's a movable feast. You can do whatever you need to do in there. Scream into the air freshener. I know a lot of people that will not go into a public restroom. I don't just mean one at the mall, but will not go into, let's put it this way. I know a lot of people who cannot and will not even try to make toilet anywhere but home unless it's an emergency where they're traveling or something.
That's pretty normal, I think. Like,
is it?
I, I don't know. Well,
it depends,
I don't know.
I guess.
I pee a lot, but
I also pee
so much. Yeah, I drink a lot of water. I think, Kevin, you do too. We are very well hydrated.
Yes.
But I don't know. It's
I don't think this is sanctioned. I think this is probably returning here to the sign. I think this is not that different from the sign that somebody puts up, you know, about the bitches doing dishes. Mm-hmm. I think this is just Ron.
It's a bit.
It's
yeah.
Ron, and Ron is mad, and, mm-hmm. and Ron wants to come smell your dumps. So I don't think he's really going to do it, you know? Do you think somebody actually smells the dumps?
No. I think it's Ron, and then someone got excited and took a picture, and then five minutes later, Ron was like, I'm just having a bad day because my kid was crying, and like, oh, this is fucking crazy. And when
Ron
could be a nice guy, a manager who's just
everybody
in
hates
over
Ron.
His head.
That's why I wrote this message on the side of the dog.
I hate you, Ron.
Mr. Perkins.
Ron.
Come back, Mr. Perkins. is mom back with my fruit roll-ups? give me some fucking chili, Ron. And so
Ron.
Then... Continuing on with, what are we calling it? Turlet time?
Toilet police.
Turlet time.
Toilet talk.
Toilet police. Clambulance.
Oh.
Toilet time.
So, Toilet Time continues. Digga, 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 BBC. Is that where we are? Wired.
Yes.
We're wired.
We're also, BBC features a photo of the toilet.
Yes.
Okay. Who wants to do a reading series here?
I would just like to say this morning, I received a link to just a picture of a silhouette of a man sitting on toilet, like at just, it's not quite 90 degrees. It's like 30 degrees off. So
it's
we
a 13
got,
degree angle.
It's a 13
oh,
degree
a
angle.
Oh, it's only
13. Specifically
13
degrees.
Okay,
it's
yes.
Well, technically, I guess that would be 100 and something. But it's an obtuse angle.
But it's insidious because it's such a small number.
Yeah. It is what the CIA would call a stress position.
Yes, yes.
And the idea is you get this toilet and you sit on it. So let's just read here.
Alex
didn't know this existed. But wait. I got this from a friend saying, oh my God, Twitter's so fucking stupid. I can't believe people are believing this. And I, too, thought it was like a jokey, like that's, I don't know. It was someone.
You thought it was like a Bloomberg dance kind of thing.
I thought someone saw a picture of this weird looking toilet and did a funny little meme and people believed it, as you do. No. There is a whole write-up in Wired. Can someone take this reading series? Because we know what happens when I try to read an article. Kevin, would you like to do
it? We appreciate the little things in life. Oh, go ahead, Kevin. You do it.
Yeah, I could do this. We all appreciate the little things in life, and that includes spending 5 minutes on the toilet scrolling through Twitter on company time. But that's time theft. But those days may be at risk with the standard toilet, all one word.
Camel case. With the
interior cap. What do you call that?
Camel case.
Camel toe. Yeah.
A seat. A seat that claims to drastically reduce toilet time. Toilet time is not capitalized.
Alex loves that. She doesn't like making toilet. Please reduce my toilet time.
Approved by the British Toilet Association, the BTA.
BTA. Hello. You've run afoul of the British Toilet Association, haven't you?
It's going to cut down on your toy time, isn't it?
They nicked me mobile, didn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, what's all this thing?
Oh, God.
What's all this thing? You come in toilet death.
You're sliding right off that toilet, ain't you?
I'm a toilet sweep.
I'm going to give you an ASBO.
You know, they don't call them police over there. They call them bobbies.
Yeah, there's a reason.
I see.
The toilet bobbies. Yeah, check for dosage time. Oh, boy.
Make sure to check under the lid for the toilet bobbies.
Metropolitan toilet bobbies.
Approved by the British Toilet Association, a members organization that campaigns for better toilet facilities, the standard toilet sits at a downward angle of 13 degrees. After around 5 minutes of sitting, this will cause strain on the legs, similar to a low-level squat thrust. But not enough to cause health issues, reassures Mahabir Gill, founder of Standard Toilet. Anything higher than that would cause wider problems. 13 degrees is not too inconvenient, but you'd soon want to get off the seat quite quickly.
God. Oh.
Boy, I wonder how many prototypes did they go through before they arrived at 13.
12 is not enough.
Wow! Okay, I'm going to cross out 45.
God.
Too much slant.
Oh.
We'll never get approval from the BTA. He slid right off the loo, isn't it? I'm placing you under arrest. I'm a toilet Bobby.
Oh boy.
So anyway, that's probably almost enough toilet talk.
I think it is, but I don't think that this is...
This is criminal.
Well, yeah. I don't think this is going to happen. What is going to happen is bosses are going to be like, haha, we have normal toilets. Aren't we great?
Oh, yeah.
And where this is going is like places like Starbucks or Pret, as they call it in Britain. And it's to deter homeless people from being in the bathroom too long. Like, that's all this is.
Let's take a giant step back and let's return, since Max is not here. Let's have yet another moment with Materialism Corner. Let's ask ourselves this. You have a big company and you got a bunch of fucking toilets and you don't like the way things are going. Oh, what is your solution? Let's buy weird toilets from a startup. Let's replace all of our regular toilets with startup toilets. No fucking way.
No.
Not going to happen. No, unless, okay, so here's what happens. Here's what Kevin would say. Kevin from Shark Tank, sorry, other Kevin. Kevin from Shark Tank would say, well, what's proprietary about this? You know, well, what if you come up, it's like, you know, what is it? 6 minute abs? Like, what if somebody comes up with, you know, the 12 degree toilet. Mm-hmm. Oh, but it's made by the actual company standard, not standard toilet in camel toe, but like the actual company standard that makes, wow, how'd they get away with that
shit?
Yeah,
wait, because that's the toilet
company.
What
the fuck? That's the toilet boys. Mm-hmm. Holy shit.
Also, right? Bemis.
Bemis.
There's a toilet manufacturer called Bemis.
Okay, all right.
Bemis.
Well, just Bemis.
B-E-M-I-S.
Bemis.
Bemis toilet seats.
Yep. Bemis toilet seat. That's quite, their logo's an anus. Their logo is a flowery anus.
Oh, and a little asterisk.
Oh, boy.
That's like Gail's cats.
Pretty.
It's not as cartoony, but...
Oh,
that's a shame.
That's lovely.
I'm going to make this real, real short, but it really sticks in my memory. It was fun to live in Florida. I used to work for a guy who not only did continuing education for accountants as a successful going concern, he was also an amateur inventor. Very long story short, he invented, conceptually, invented something in his head that he was pretty, I think he might have gotten some kind of a copy protection on it or patents of some kind. Anyway, the notion is, you know how when you go to the bathroom, you hate those blow. This is in the, you know, late 90s. You know how when you go to the bathroom, like a public toilet, you know how you hate to use the those yucky loud, you know, air dryers, but you know how you also hate paper towels. What if we put both together? So what if you come in there and it blows scaldingly hot air on your hands for a few seconds because energy, and then gives you half of a paper towel.
Instead of one thing that is okay, we get two things that are bad.
Yes, two things you hate. Yes, yes. So anyway, at one point he'd finally scored a meeting with the people at the big dryer company, whose name's escaping me right now, but it's the big dryer people, big dryer. Mm-hmm. And so his plan was, I don't think he ever actually did this, but his plan was to come in with a pie pan, a bottle of water, and a hair dryer. And that was going to be the demo. So he could pour water into a pie pan.
Okay.
And this development person at the company, the lady could dip her hands gently into the pie pan, and he'd go with a hair dryer, and then hand her half of a paper towel and go, huh? 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 Are you with me?
Oh my God. Oh my God.
This is a Mr. Show sketch.
Oh my God.
Huh? Huh? All right. Where do I sign? And then a trap door opens.
Oh my God.
And he's down with the 7th Cavalry.
pie, like a disposable pie pan.
Why not like
a ceramic one?
Yeah, you could... because Florida.
Get a nicer vessel.
You don't get rich by spending money, Kevin. He's an amateur inventor.
Good Lord. I can't tell if this is a bit or if
it's not a bit.
I'm so upset.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it. Okay.
Yeah. He was also a guy that when he would go out on the weekends and to be a hero, he'd go out on Saturday mornings to get a dozen Krispy Kremes for his family. And what he never told his family was he actually had 24 and ate 12.
This all checks out.
What?
And you know the phrase he used to explain why he ate 12 donuts in the time it took? He said they just slide right down.
Oh, no.
Hold on.
I'll never forget it, and now neither will you. They just slide right down.
Like a goose.
Slurp.
No.
You know, really.
He never told his family, and they never questioned why he was throwing up constantly every Saturday morning.
Daddy, why is there an empty box in here?
Daddy's so sick again.
Daddy's inventing. Daddy has to go make the toilet.
Dad gets really sick every time he goes to Krispy Kreme. Dad, all do you right. want some of these donuts you bought for us? No, I couldn't eat another bite.
I'm good. I'm trying to watch my weight.
Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Oh, Dig Dug Butts.
Butts.
The challenge this week comes from our friend Kevin Budnick.
No, it does not come from me.
Nope, does not.
Oh, that's right. I don't know whose challenge it was.
I think this is an Alex challenge.
God.
I really don't. I've become Max. I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure you...
Can
this
I jump
was
in?
A, Max is going to be out, so we need to call a Hail Mary.
The challenge this week is mine!
Okay. All right.
Because I'm obsessed with pants right now, and I love the way
yes.
the pants draws butts. And hi, pants.
Pants.
You should all be following at pants on the
agreed.
Internet.
Agreed.
And I do.
Oh, he's. I don't know what it is. I don't know what the it's his drawings, but it's also just the way he phrases things. Only two made beds. Why is that funny to me?
It's the drill of comics.
Oh
God, yeah,
that's
kind of.
So good. Yes. Oh,
tiny sock.
Yep.
I can't make them any tinier. Anyway, he draws great butts, and so I said, hey, you know what? We should get our old pal Kevin on. Maybe he can teach us how to draw butts, because at least as I know, I cannot fucking draw at all.
Now, I saw the butts that you drew, and those are some good butts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to blow smoke up your butt.
Oh, boy.
Yep. Put your butt meat in the... bucket to raise the book.
Put your butt meat in the
pick bucket. Up the bandsaw you find at your feet. Oh, great. Will I be seeing you on Thursday for barbecue? Can I stand? I got kind of a situation back here.
All right, I'm grabbing my iPad.
Oh, God.
I'm grabbing my iPad. What I learned was I was sitting around last night watching Leftovers when my family finally went to bed, and I tried drawing butts. I can do the hack of the five lines trick. Alex, how did you do with butts?
So
Alex
I'm
is drawing butts right
I'm,
now.
I'm drawing some butts right now, and what I started off, I guess I didn't text you, Kevin. You had great advice for us, which was just completely draw an entire page, like fill pages and pages of butts.
Mm-hmm.
I have found that my butts are either hearts or reverse penises. Look
can
at
I
this.
Also see a pen?
Yeah, yeah. In here, the see,
oh,
like,
interesting.
This one does look saggy.
Like a bit like a penis.
Yep. And so here's a pen and a
reverse penis. Is that called a keyhole? What is that?
Oh boy.
It sort of does look like it. Literally does look like the head of a penis.
Yep.
With two lines.
The
up.
Glands? It's called the debt ceiling. The debt ceiling. Let's see here. How do I make a new page in this godforsaken app?
This is wild, Alex. I don't know what these are.
But I can consistently...
Which part is the crack?
Exactly.
Is that the crack?
That's the crack at the top.
I'm gonna have to take pictures of these and share them with Merlin.
Yes,
right,
please
now.
Do. Please do.
I think I accidentally made boobs.
But I can consistently draw. It's like every time, like those three correctly. And I just
I am sending Alex's butts in the group chat.
Okay, thank you.
Because I didn't want to cheat and go to like not cheat. Like everybody went about
what the fuck? I think it's called sounding. What?
Right.
Oh, this is really upsetting.
Isn't it bad?
It's really,
so
really
bad.
Weird.
And I need to find the picture. I need to find the notebook that I just drew all these butts. And slowly I'm like, holy shit, this is just a page of balls and penis. This is all this is.
Oh, no.
So,
that's a shame.
It got upsetting. And then I started to try to draw anuses. And then I found a book.
That's a butt. That's part of a butt.
Yeah, it's part of a butt. And then I found a coloring book of cats' anuses and got it. And that's what I did all weekend.
Oh, wow.
Was color cats.
Remember that? You remember that when what's your name? Gail. You know, oh shit! On Bob's Burgers, what's the wife's name?
Linda.
All right,
Linda.
Linda's sister Gail. Remember, she starts drawing all the paintings of cats' anuses.
Oh, what an episode! What a beautiful.
Oh my god.
Oh my. See, but she could also draw a butt.
Part of it is I can't draw legs. I can't draw legs, so I can't really draw butts.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
just you don't have to draw the whole leg. You just kind of like
that's part of the challenge. Is like I don't know if the challenge. Oh, God, I just heard it for the first time.
Challenge.
Whoa, that's upsetting. But part of the challenge of drawing a butt is if you don't have legs, it's like, okay, where does... Are the cheeks sagging? Is it a bubble butt? Like, what? You know, was I supposed to have stretch marks? It was this whole process. You know, like, Merlin, I'm like, I think I'm body-shaming people by...
You definitely are. No matter what you draw, you're body-shaming.
Exactly.
I'm going to send a few butt pics.
I'm doing big thigh gap.
I'm going to send you guys a few butt pics. Are you cool with that?
Yeah.
Totally. It's better than Alex's dick pics. Jesus Christ. What a goddamn mess. That's in my history now.
So I like to do like a little like some speckles on the butt.
So is that hair or like
hair.
Scars?
It could be like butt acne.
Butt zits.
Okay. I see.
Whoa, look at that. Oh, look at those butts.
All right. Here's my issue. Kevin's one with legs. That if you turn it, that's like a cute little like Gumby guy giving a hug. This guy, look at it's a little, oh wait, my iPad also turned, fuck,
technology
can't do hard. So this one right here, Merlin, turn around, like look at it's it's like a ghost giving you a hug. See No?
Did you send me
Hold on. Hold on.
We're doing
give me a
reverse,
second.
We're
give
doing
me
a
second.
Check test.
Oh.
Basically.
A look. Ghost giving you a hug.
Look, okay, if you were to add.
Oh, yeah, no, I see it. I see it.
Yeah, that's
I see
a ghost
it.
Giving you a hug.
Here, let me.
and oh, this one even more. Like, iPad, come back. Come
it also
back.
It also could be a ghost with boobs.
Like, buck. Yes, then I was going to go to the next one, and that.
Unfinished business.
That's boobs.
Bless my cash.
And even one of yours looks like the one that I guess looks like a sitting butt. Maybe that's also like a little penis head, kind of.
Yeah, I was trying to. So there's a difference in the way that I'm drawing the butts and the way that I think both you and Merlin are drawing the butts is that. Y'all are trying to do some sort of like a front facing or like basically you're looking straight ahead at the butt.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. Instead of like a side view. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm doing sort of a three quarters butt, which is I think the easiest way to 360 no scope butt. 720.
That's why 720 nice. Blaze it. That's why they Mo Sizlak is the only character today that they will frequently show full front on. because it's such a grotesquerie. Well, they learned a long time ago they can't do that. If you have a Simpsons character looking...
Front-facing Bart.
Yeah. Yep. You don't realize how, except in the very early seasons, or when they want to achieve a really trippy effect, you know, usually with like zooming in the camera, they, I think it's pretty much Mo. It's just about the only one because everybody else looks so fucking weird.
Mods when are asleep. Draw front-facing Bart.
Oh, the things that go on
okay,
Reddit.
Okay, here we go. Oh, my butts are very dim.
I want to know Merlin's approach.
I put a butthole on one of them.
Oh.
I gave him a novelty size butthole.
These are very pant-like, if you will. Oh. Well, that one's nice.
Yeah. I want to make some juicier ones.
That middle one in the top, I'd tap that butt.
Yes.
The
yes.
one underneath is a...
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying not to picture what the rest of the humans would look like on these butts.
Good for you.
But let's just say the one below it.
Huh. What, the one with the simulated asterisk butthole?
No.
One that has the arrow with butt pointing at it?
Oh, I just sent you another one. No.
Oh, there's another one? There's another one?
Oh.
Yes. Oh, I see. Oh, yeah, I love this simulated asterisk butthole.
Uh-huh,
that's very good.
Uh-huh.
That's sort of a draw the butthole first and then fill in the rest.
I kind of like the top one. I think that's got a kind of Leonardo
middle?
Quality.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's very pantsy.
Top middle's a little bit Da Vinci.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, yeah. Like they're very like it's, you know, it's gestural.
Mm-hmm.
It's gestural, it's editorial.
It's more interesting.
Can I see it without the jacket? Sorry, that was I'm holding up a card here just so the lights don't get in my eyes.
I take a field trip, take a figure drawing class.
No.
For fun.
No.
For your work.
I think
it would be fun.
Have you ever taken, you must have taken a figure drawing class.
Yeah, I mean, in high school.
Like a life drawing?
Yeah, drawing from like a model for like 2 hours or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What sort of people sign up for, and I'm not talking about like body shape, but like.
Everybody, you gotta do it. That's basic, that's like color theory. You like gotta do
no,
it.
No, but what sort of people sign
like
up
models.
To be the models?
Is oh, my ex. My ex used to do it.
Oh,
yeah, it's normal looking people. Usually, yeah.
No,
honestly.
No, it's not. I'm not. I don't care what they look like. I mean, what is their mindset?
A lot of times it's other art students or people who are like actors. Like actors do it.
Okay, that checks out.
At least that's in my experience with people who I've been in class and having model for the class. Like, when I was at Columbia, I took figure drawing and 3D modeling, like with clay, like sculpting.
Wow.
And specifically in the sculpting class, the model had to be very like physically fit, like very, very like cut.
So you could literally, he had, or whoever needed to be very sculpted.
Yeah.
That makes total sense.
So you could see, you could see all the muscles.
Yeah.
If you just look like the
wow.
assistant principal, it's not going to be as fun to make.
Right.
Yeah.
There are certain people that play.
Hi, Kevin. It's
scratch,
me,
scratch,
Mr.
Scratch.
Phillips. Me, Mr. Phillips, your old vice principal. would he have a Chicago accent?
Hey. I don't know. People tell me sometimes I don't have a Chicago accent, and then it comes out sometimes, I think, too.
Yeah, people...
Sort of a challenge.
What's Roger... So I heard somebody on the radio today, and I thought it sounded like Roger Ebert, and I thought, is Roger Ebert from Chicago? Because he doesn't have a Chicago accent, did he?
He's from the suburbs.
Like... Oh, I was going to... It was somebody being interviewed about what? Something in San Diego. I forget what. But it sounded so much like Roger Ebert. Well, you know how Jonathan Penner... on Survivor sounds so much like Alan Alda.
I don't know who Alan Alda.
You know Penner? Penner's the guy. He's been an actor.
Did you watch Marriage Story?
No, I have not yet.
No. But it turned out that one was right. They're both from Long Island. They both have, Alan Alda and Jonathan Penner both have a Long Island accent.
That makes sense.
So yeah. Anyway, you're drawing your vice principal with clay.
Yeah, I'm drawing him with the clay. Get my hands all up in it.
Mm-hmm. Really get in there. Yeah.
No, figure drawing is fun because, like, 3D modeling is, or like, you know, not 3D modeling. I guess that would be like with a computer, but like 3D, whatever the name of the class was, does not matter. Figure drawing is fun, and you do several different poses in like the period. So and also there's not like sometimes it'll be like, okay, spend an hour on this drawing. Sometimes it'll be like, oh, spend like 5 minutes on this drawing, and they change up the times.
Oh, so that must be so interesting.
It's really fun, mm-hmm. and like it really does give you sort of an approximation. Like it doesn't turn you in. You don't become like a master of the physical form mm-hmm. or whatever. But mm-hmm. you know, you walk away with some semblance of like, okay, this goes that way, and then. This line supposed to go like that, and you know
that was one of the things like I got out of the Drawing on the Right Side of the Brain book is that you know you do all these things to sort of which is such a good book, and I got it for my kid, and I can't get her to crack it because I think she'd really enjoy doing it. But you know, there's a lot of the famous one in there, I guess, is like find a photo of someone's face and don't even look at it right side up, like start drawing it upside down. You know, and I'm sure you've done this, Kevin.
Huh.
But I've gotten stuff like that as Christmas gifts and whatnot.
And you threw them at the trash.
There's just a bunch of exercises for people who are really left-brained, like
That's
me.
Cool.
And so just for fun, if you were to just go find a picture of Oprah or whatever and just like start drawing what is in front of you rather than what you think you're drawing, it's the wildest thing. It'll look better than any drawing you've ever done. Or you do the exercise where you like, you have to do the thing without looking at the paper and without lifting the pencil. There's all those different
right.
ones, and it's pretty wild to see something on the page that's not at all what you thought you were drawing or mm-hmm. what you thought you were making. You know what I mean? Both in terms of the figure, the object, and what you've created, it feels like it was drawn by a stranger. It's the weirdest thing in the world. But like I was going to say with this is that when you're drawing anything, including people, like being very limited in the number of sort of like strokes or lines that you can use it. You, I don't know. I just think it's so interesting. That's why I had the most success with the YouTube video of drawing a butt with five lines. It's not monkey shit, but it is kind of wild. Cause like if you have unlimited numbers of lines, I don't know. I just think it's really interesting look at like, you know, some of Picasso's most famous, mm-hmm. especially later in life when he got, I guess
it's representational.
They're just, well, yeah, they're really, they just hint at what the thing is. Like, well, that's clearly a bird or whatever, mm-hmm. or that's, you know, anyway, I just think that's...
It's the same thing that I was sort of, like, I think the only piece of advice I gave you guys for this was, like, just fill a page with butts, which is, like, a Charles Schulz thing that I picked up in college from, like, a drawing class that was, like, burned into my brain, is that, like, he would spend, you know, an entire page drawing a mailbox, and then by the end of the page or whatever, he would have the most like pure form of mailbox, which is like you can get to that's what cartooning is. You can get to like mm-hmm. that thing in like the fewest amount of
lines. Take away everything inessential.
Mm-hmm. Like what is the least amount of effort you need to put in to represent like mailbox?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's sort of a similar thing that happens in design, and it's totally caught in my brain because I keep thinking like I genuinely was like, well, what's a butt? Like it's boobs without nipples. Like mm-hmm. like I don't know. I find that fascinating, and I don't know whether I'm left brained or right brained. Like truly, like different doctors and therapists.
I think
have
you're pretty left brained. I think you're pretty left brained.
I think I am too. And people are like, well, you don't like math.
Well, I mean, like we don't even have to use this dumb term.
Yeah.
When we talk about that, and again, I'll try to find the book for notes, but it's something everybody's probably seen at some point. It's like having a copy of Impro. Like everybody's got one at some point in life. But Drawing on the Right Side of the Brain is like, it's for people like me. How can I put this? There are people who know how to draw, use a series of lines or strokes or colors to create something that is representative, perhaps, of an object. But you look at the thing and you go, oh, I see that's the thing. People like me call it left brain, whatever you want to call it. I very, like, in a very fussy way, try to make the thing I think it should be in my head, which is exactly the wrong way to approach it. Right? It's almost like, you know, I was saying to my kid, we were doing some flashcards a couple days ago, and I was talking about how, you know, in a definition, when you're defining something, you know, try to never, obviously, you know, use the word that you're defining in the definition, right? And it's like, you know, you have to be creative, and you become poetic, and like, you can be poetic with art and drawings, and I don't know, I'm rambling on, but like, I really envy it. The only two things in life that I haven't achieved that I really wish I had worked on, really, the two I'm willing to say. Being able to play piano, being good at playing piano, and being good at drawing. I'm so envious of people.
I wish I had learned how to play an instrument.
My icon on Twitter was drawn by this guy named Dave Gray, who I became acquainted with. And he's a really interesting guy. He used to do these drawings for, I want to say Business 2.0, but he had this whole library of like little people, these little like, what's the word I always forget, Alex? Not orthogonal, but isometric. Like isometric people. And he would get hired by in the 90s, you'd see his stuff in 2000s in business magazines where he'd do these incredible, explain these very complex ideas using all this library of little like isometric people. And so, but every talk he would go to, in that case, I think it's South by Southwest, he would just doodle while he was listening. Mm-hmm. And like, I was just thinking, like, what is this magic that you're doing? Like everything you do, like it's just, it just comes right out of your fingers. And like, I don't know, I could have tried, I suppose.
I mean, you could, but there is, I don't want to say like there are certain people who are incapable of drawing, but Kevin, Max calls it a superpower kind of as a joke, but it really is. You can just draw cartoon characters from the 90s. And and I've seen like the same people can do it with all 800 Pokemon. Like it is just something where it lives in your head and it's, sometimes it doesn't look as the original artist intended, but it's like a mailbox.
It looks like something.
That is exactly.
Think about people with puzzles. Like there are some people, like when I listen to, actually a pal of mine had the puzzle on a Weekend Edition on Sunday, a guy here in town. And like, I'm one of those people where like the puzzle on the show, I'm talking here on, you know, the Will Shorts thing on NPR. Mm-hmm. It's like, I usually get a majority or more of the answers, but I never in fucking a million years could solve the weekly challenge. The challenge where like the hard challenge where you try to get on the show. My brain just breaks down and goes, I don't even know how to solve for this. It would be like asking me to create rain. It's like, I wouldn't even know how to begin. You know what I mean? And some people just have a brain for puzzles where they're like, they go into this, you know, like Alan Turing sort of like mind palace. Maybe I'm just thinking of Benedict Cumberbatch, but then and just have the ability to like, see everything like sort of fall into place. And it's just like your brain works like that or it doesn't, I think.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. And I kind of, on your side of your brain though, Merlin, I'm thinking about the I don't know if it's out, the episode of the podcast you sent us where the
procrastination thing?
The analogies that you come up with were so good. The headlines.
Oh, good. You liked them?
Oh, my God.
I thought that turned out pretty good.
As you know, I'm familiar with your work. but the idea that, well, actually, this is Anne Lamott, but still, it's not.
Oh, I love that quote so much.
Yeah. The headlights, the map gets you to where you're going.
This is a quote, Kevin, this is a quote from E.L. Doctorow via Annie Lamott. And and we were talking about like having a plan for what you're doing and being able to get it done and like how much granularity do you need in planning your projects. And I'm just quoting Doctorow, something like that. What you need are the headlights, you know, to get you to the city where you're going. You know what I mean? Like, or in the way I phrased it was like, I have a map to help me get to Houston, but I have headlights to get me out of the driveway. I've always loved that analogy. Like,
so
you know what I mean? Like, so how is it you're able to drive across the country when your headlights only go like 100 feet? Well, that's how headlights do. And like, I don't know. Yeah, I think I have that sometimes. Sometimes I can rhyme. Sometimes I rhyme slow. Sometimes I rhyme quick. Got head on a swivel. You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
I like your butt dimples, Kevin. Nice butt dimples.
Oh, aren't they good? I love Kevin's butt
dimples.
Looks
like an angry Chinese boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Smiling Asian boy.
Those are the... Spencer. Are they not in... you put those in your drawing, right?
The weird dimple?
Like, the weird, like, lower back muscles above the cheeks.
I see. Mm. I felt like I was fat. I'm like, they're is not this in... muscly or oh, fatty?
No, that's
I
like
don't know.
Everybody has those.
I
mean, yeah. Well, it's also like everybody people dimples. Are not... People are not like cut, right? Like everybody has.
Yeah.
Everybody's smooshy.
Yeah, people are smooshy. That's
no,
what
I know.
You
people
learn,
are smooshy.
Like,
yeah.
By figure drawing, even people who are like super physically fit are represented by round shapes.
Mm-hmm. I'm Rubenesque.
Cherubic. <Okay. laughs>
Did you see the photo of my fat lizard boy from yesterday?
I did.
Oh, of course.
Oh my God, his little tummy. Did you see it?
Oh,
he's
yeah.
So proud.
Go oh my God, he's so dignified.
I'm going to search Bando.
Fucks me up, Bando Mando.
Pleasantly plump.
So pleasantly plump.
Look at his tummy. Look at his tummy. He's on the rock.
He's warming that tummy.
Do you rub his? Have you rubbed his tummy yet?
Yes. Yeah. I like to rub his beard. That's my favorite.
Oh,
rubbing part.
Yeah.
I am Cirque du Soleil now.